So welcome. Thank you for coming this morning. Today is Pentecost Sunday. That's why we've got that on the screen. So Pentecost Sunday, it marks the celebration of the day that the church was birthed, when the Holy Spirit came and was poured out on the church. So that's why every year as Christians, we just take this time out, one Sunday a month, to just acknowledge the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. So welcome to Pentecost Sunday, I'd say. Now, we've been looking at a teaching series for the past 3 weeks. Now, as a church, what we do is, by the way, my name is Pastor Benson. We're a church that's based out of London. This is the Bristol branch. So what we do on a monthly basis is we try and get a sense of what God is speaking to us as a church, what we believe God wants us to focus on. And based on that, we will do a series out of it. So we'll do a teaching series. Now, for the past, since the beginning of this month, we've been looking at a teaching series called You Shall Receive Power. You Shall Receive Power. And we looked at a number of things in the sense of power. We said, what is power? And the definition that we gave, apart from the Bible definition, was that power is the ability to influence something or someone to do a particular thing. The ability to influence something or someone to do a particular thing. It could also be the ability to achieve something in your life. You have the power to do this. You have the power to accomplish this. We also moved on and we said, let's look at spiritual power. And we said that spiritual power is, another dictionary definition, is when someone employs the help of a supernatural being to accomplish something. That's what we refer to as spiritual power. And I'm just summarizing. We now said that in the life of Peter, there was a power that was exercised against him to influence him to do something. And he denied Jesus in that context because there was a supernatural power that organized certain things around him to make him deny Jesus with the aim of destroying the relationship that he had with Jesus. So that's what we looked at in that, a summary of what we're looking at for the past few weeks. Now, today we will continue in that same stead. And I've said today, today we're still carrying on with You Shall Receive Power. But I want us to rewind a bit to the beginning of this series and the actual story that, you know, brought all this about. It was the story of Peter denying Jesus, which is quite popular. We know that in the Bible. But it wasn't just the case that he denied Jesus. It was the circumstances by which, the circumstances surrounding his denial of Jesus. So I'm just going to rewind a bit. So I'll look at three sections this morning. I'll do a recap again to give us context. I'll look at the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit have to do with us? Then the third section that I'll look at this morning is the actual Pentecost day and the power of the Holy Spirit. So three areas that we're looking at this morning. So in Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62, Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62, Peter did something quite interesting there. He denied that he ever knew Jesus. But before that point in time, Jesus had already told Peter. He told Peter and his disciples. He said to them, a time is coming very shortly where I will be arrested, I will be taken away. But you guys are going to abandon me, you guys are going to deny me, you're going to run away, And his disciples looked at him and they said, Jesus, come on, that can't be true. Then Peter now stepped forward and even, said further to Jesus, if all these people here, all these your disciples deny you, I will never do that. So he was very vehement because he was like, man, how can I do that? Can you imagine if, for example, I stood here this morning? This is just an analogy. And I said, everyone here is going to deny me and run away. What would be your response? Be like, oh, no, we can never do that to Pastor Benson. Never, never, never. I mean, the way you guys are looking, I know you can never do that. So as I said that to you, assuming I said that to you, and in your heart, you're convinced that, look, you can't do that. I mean, Pastor Benson's a nice guy. He looks after us. He prays for us. And all these things. And that's your sincere determination. I mean, your sincere view, right? Peter had the same view. He was someone that had walked with Jesus. He was ready to do anything for Jesus. So imagine that I've just told you that now. I'm like, oh, guys, something's going to happen. And not quite sure you guys are going to be able to stand that. Then as I'm speaking now, can you imagine if, and by the way, this is just an analogy, so don't panic. As I'm preaching now, a few masked men barge into this church building. Three from that entrance, two from that entrance, all masked with AK-47s. If you don't know what an AK-47 is, don't worry, it's a gun. It's a machine gun. And they just walk into this church and they're like, brrr. Nobody move in this church. We don't want, you know, we're not after you. We are just after Pastor Benson. All this preaching that he's been doing, we've had enough of it. Please, 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 they're all masked, by the way. Please, 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 just walk out gently. No harm will come unto you. We just want Pastor Benson. As I was speaking now, what would you do? Can I tell you guys what you would do? I can almost guarantee that you guys will just rush forward then surround me and say, take us instead of Pastor Benson. You guys are looking like, I'm sure that's what you would do, right? I mean, the look you guys have on your faces is not convincing. I said, if that kind of thing happened, I can guarantee that everybody that is sat here, in fact, even those that are online would leave their house and rush and surround me and say, no, you can't take Pastor Benson. I know my people. That's what they would do. But that was not the case of Peter. When that actually happened to Jesus and they came to arrest Jesus, they ran away. They abandoned Jesus. Now, Jesus had told them earlier in the book of Luke as well. He said, a time is coming that you guys will abandon me. And when he told them that, they just couldn't believe that they would be able to do that kind of thing. So the same thing with you and I. You're sat here and like, man, that's not something that I would do ordinarily. So they just said, Jesus, please say, talk about something else. Talk about something else. Do you know that it's the same thing in your individual lives as well? Where you look at certain things happening and you're like, if this ever happened in my family or to me, I would never do what this other person did. Then you are faced with the same exact circumstance and you do that thing you said you would never do. So what am I talking about here? I'm talking about power. Power is the ability to accomplish a task. It is the ability to influence an individual or something to do what you want. So Jesus was telling them that you guys do not have the power to stand by your word. You don't have it. You do not have the spiritual power to do what you would ordinarily want to do. And they said, we don't power, but I mean, I can sort this by myself. So Jesus told them, this thing is going to happen to you. and they didn't. He highlighted that they didn't have the power at that point to be able to live the life that they would want to live, to be able to stand by their word, to be able to stand their ground. Do we understand? So what am I saying here? Jesus told them the first time, and they said, forget it. We can't do that kind of thing. We're good. We can never deny you, Jesus. But they did. So it's the same way you see Christians, and we do certain things, and it's like, man, my goodness, how could I have done that? And we're sometimes ashamed. Sometimes they're like, oh man, I shouldn't have, you know. Jesus said, if you do not want to live continually like that, doing the things that you don't want to do, faltering in life, then you need power. That was what he told the disciples, but they shrugged it off. And their life fell to pieces because they shrugged it off. All right? So, where am I going with this? We're looking at three sections today. The background, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. Now, after they had denied Jesus, Jesus was resurrected. He came back to them. And they were like, wow, he reconciled to Peter. He reconciled Peter to himself and everybody. Jesus now, after this time, now says something to them. He said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power. This was after the fiasco. This time, this is the second time Jesus is now talking about what they need. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This time, they listened. This time, they didn't say, Jesus, we can just, let's do it the way, you know, we can handle this. They didn't make that mistake again. This time, they listened. They listened. They said, wow, if Jesus is saying this time, first time we really messed up, we took it for granted, we just thought we could do this thing on our own. This time, let's pay attention to what Jesus is saying. And they listened. So Jesus told them that, look, as believers, wait till you receive power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. At that point, they didn't really understand what he was talking about, I believe. They understood a bit. You're now wondering, what do you need power for as a believer? I mean, well, you need power for every single thing. You need power to live the Christian life. You need power to be able to go through this life and overcome the circumstances that life presents to you. You need that power. So Jesus tells them this, that they need power. This time they listened. So what am I saying to us this morning? The same thing. We have stage one, when Jesus told them, you guys would deny me, and they thought we can handle this by our own intelligence, our own intellect. They failed woefully. Stage two, he comes back, they failed, and he now says to remind them, you guys need power. This time, they listen. It's like, we don't want to make the same mistake. So for us as believers, often we are in stage one in most areas of our lives. We are in stage one, we're saying, I can deal with this, you know, just if it's church stuff, Pastor Benson can preach on a Sunday, we'll listen. But when it has to do with my family, when it has to do with my relationship, when it has to do with my job, when it has to do with the things that I go through on a daily basis with my kids, when it has to do with this, I can handle that one. I can handle that one. I don't need anybody to tell me that. I love God. I pray. But when it comes to these other areas of my life, I can handle it. A lot of us are like that in stage one. But Jesus is saying to us from the Word of God, move from stage one. Because if you remain in stage one where you're just doing life in your own strength, by your own wisdom, sometimes you will make it work, but often you might not be able to make it work. You might not be able to make it work. So Jesus wants you and I to move from stage one to stage two. The same way that he did for these disciples, they moved from stage one to stage two because they realized that what Jesus is saying is really important. We need this power. We need this power. So I moved to the second stage. So I now go back to the power that Jesus was talking about. He said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. After the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So it now begs the question, who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? Who is he really? Jesus told them who the Holy Spirit was or who he is. And he begins to tell them in John chapter 14, verse 18, when he was about to leave the earth. Jesus was here physically. His disciples saw him every day. But he was about to leave. And he said, look, I am leaving you guys, but I'm going to send somebody else to be with you forever. So John chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And you're wondering, how can he say, I will come to you when he's leaving? That's because Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and the Father. So Jesus was telling them, I am leaving, but I'm coming back to you. So the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is Jesus and God the Father together. So he told them that he will send the Holy Spirit to them so that they will not be like orphans, so that they will not live life by themselves. So looking at the Holy Spirit, which is the second section that I'm looking at, it's like Jesus being with you everywhere you go, but you can't see him. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of the times people talk about the Holy Spirit, we watch on YouTube, and often people just, what I'll say, they spookify the Holy Spirit. As in when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's like, oh, yes, you know. No, the Holy Spirit is a person like Jesus. It's just that you can't see him. So he said to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. He now says something else about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak from himself, but whatsoever he hears, that he will speak. He will show you things to come. Talking about the Holy Spirit. So first thing about the Holy Spirit is like, he's like Jesus being with you, but you can't see him. He's invincible, but he's there. The second thing is that Jesus said that he will guide you and I into all truth, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth and show you things to come. So the same way that the disciples, when they had clarifications, they weren't quite sure about one or two things about the Bible or about life, they would go to Jesus, and Jesus would explain to them, and Jesus would help them. So Jesus was telling them that I'm not going to be here, but the Holy Spirit will be here so that he will lead you, guide you into all truths in the Bible, guide you into all truths about God, and show you things to come. And show you things to come. So what that means is that the Holy Spirit can show you and I in our everyday life, things to come, things that are about to happen to you, and sometimes, most times, how you can avert them or the things you need to do. Sometimes he will explain what the Bible is to you. Sometimes he will give you understanding of even your schoolwork. I tell you. He's like, Pastor Benson, you don't mean it. I mean it, actually. Yes, he can. Something happened to me last week. Suddenly, I woke up. I mean, woke up in the morning. This last week. And everything around me was fine. I mean, like, but suddenly I felt a certain kind of like urgency. And something, well, God whispered something into my spirit. He said, Pastor B, this person, I said, yeah, what's up? You know, I didn't say what's up. You know, I was like, yeah, what's going on? And what came to my spirit was that this person, you need to spend time praying for them because of this, because of that. And I was like, I mean, it didn't really make sense to me in that circumstance. But I just felt like this urgency. And I felt it for about 3 consecutive days. I said, okay, no problem. Then I begin to pray. I begin to pray. After that, it's now like, okay, call this person, call that person, and find out about this, and that. And I now did. When I now rang this person and I spoke to them, I now realized the trouble that was brewing around this individual, that this individual wasn't even aware of. Serious trouble brewing around them. Brewing. And they were not aware. And I said, okay, no problem. So, had some conversations, did some things, collected some people, did 1 or 2 things, and the trouble died down. But I couldn't have known. There's so many things that have happened around me as well where I would just know that, okay, this is about to happen. Seriously, I would just know. So Jesus says that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does with us is to tell us things to come, to guide us in making decisions in our lives. To guide us. So that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does as well. So I've looked at the Holy Spirit. We're looking at the Holy Spirit. We're saying that he's like Jesus. He guides us into truth and he shows us things to come. The third thing is that he empowers us to walk in our Christian faith and enables the supernatural part of our lives as believers. Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So the Holy Spirit works inside you as a believer and outside you. So he says that there's something that the Holy Spirit does to you and I. He gives us the ability to love the way God loves. He brings joy into your life. Peace, forbearance, he gives you the ability to be kind and to be faithful, to be gentle. So these are traits that people want to, I mean, as a believer, you want to be kind, but you know that, man, when that person pulls your trigger and they annoy you, it's like, you don't want to be kind at all. You're like, you know, you want to, and you're like, why am I always angry? Why am I always upset? Why am I always so fearful? The Holy Spirit helps you and I to overcome those emotions working inside us. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. The Holy Spirit also works outside of us. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given the message of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith by the same Spirit, the gifts of healing, another miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. So the Holy Spirit also works through us supernaturally to help other people. He helps us to pray for people and bring healing to them. He helps us to encourage people by prophecy, to tell them things that God is saying concerning them. Do you get what I mean? Or to encourage people. I remember a while ago, when I was at home in our living room then. And I think it was like a Saturday morning or something like that. And I was just minding my business as usual, just doing whatever I. Then suddenly I just saw like a flash, like a picture of my friend's wife. And when I saw her, she was in her room or in their room. And she had her hand on her head like this. And she was crying. So I knew what that was at the time. But I was like, I mean, is this my imagination and all that? That was then. In my spirit, what was in my spirit was call this person and find out what is going with them. But I didn't call her directly. I was like, I called her husband. And I called her husband and I said, hi, how are you doing? Hope you guys are fine on a Saturday morning. And I'm sure he sensed that, look, why are you calling me on a Saturday morning? I have things, you know what I mean? I was like, should I or shouldn't I tell them, you know, whatever. And I said, okay. I just said, look, I saw your wife last night and she was in the room and this was what she was saying. This was what she was doing. And the guy just said, you know what, Pastor, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to hand the phone to my wife. And that's what he did. So apparently, his wife was going through some sort of like episode all night. She couldn't sleep. She was crying. He was trying everything he knew to do to comfort her. I think a number of things happened and she just had like a real, and and I called in the morning. He now gave her the phone. So I was like, okay. I was like, my sister, this is what I saw and all that. She started crying. And immediately they gave her the phone. Then God now began to tell me some other things about her. And I said, look, this is what, you know, God is saying concerning you, da 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 da. And I said, God bless you. She handed the phone back to her husband. And that was it. That was the Holy Spirit encouraging somebody. Do you understand? That was the Holy Spirit encouraging someone through the word of wisdom. So how would it be if you and I can allow the Holy Spirit to work through us to encourage people? I mean, it's not that the Holy Spirit reveals secrets of people to you, but he sometimes will tell you things to encourage them so that they know that God is aware of what's going on with them. Do you understand? Jesus said that they needed this power. So he said the Holy Spirit would be like him, like Jesus being with you every day. Bring comfort to you and I. The Holy Spirit would help us to change, help our characters, help our fears. And the Holy Spirit will also work through us supernaturally through the gifts of the Spirit. So Jesus was telling the disciples that you guys need this power. You need this power to help you to walk this Christian walk successfully so that you're not struggling on your own energy. You need this power to be able to help other people as well. Do you understand? And this time they listened. So remember that at the start I said that when Jesus highlighted this kind of thing to them before, they said, look, we can handle it. But they learned the lesson. When he now highlighted this to them again about the power that they needed, they listened. He explained who the Holy Spirit is to them, the same way I'm explaining to you now. Do you understand? The same way I'm doing this morning. And you might be like, okay, Pastor B, nobody here is thinking about that. Oh man, my lunch, oh man, 1 o'clock, is it lunchtime, is it? This Holy Spirit thing, I think I'm just gonna leave it for Pastor B, leave it for the person who is sitting next to me. I'm not quite sure this thing is my cup of tea and all those things. You know, it applies to every single one of us that are sitting here. Not just to the pastors, to the choir people and all that. It applies to you. Because Jesus said it applies to you. So, I'm gonna stop in a few minutes. So I guess the question I have to you today is this. Jesus, as we've seen in the Word, is saying that you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to live the kind of life that God has called you to live, to strengthen you from inside, to guide you, show you things to come, and to also walk through you so that you can help other people around you effectively. So the question I have for us this morning is this. Do you want the power? Do you want that power that Jesus is talking about? It's a question. You don't have to answer me. You can answer yourself. Do you want that power? Or do you want to stay in stage one like the apostles did then? Tossed about by life. Or do you want the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can take charge of your life with the help of God? If your answer to that question is yes, then it's, okay, so how do I receive this power? Do I need to pay for it? Do I need to tip Pastor Benson? Do I need to do something extraordinary? Actually, no. Not at all. After Jesus had told them about this power, he said they should wait for the power. And the Bible tells us that as they were waiting, it takes us to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, which is the day we're celebrating today, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. Each of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit came on them and they began to speak in tongues. So sometimes when we're praying and we're praying in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit praying through us, giving us the ability to pray accurately and correctly. Do we understand? We're here this morning on the day that Pentecost is being celebrated. And I'm asking us that as Jesus told the disciples to wait to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and they waited and they received that power, you can receive that power as well. And if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit already, you can have an infilling, a refreshing of the Holy Spirit this morning. No fanfare. No fanfare at all. Just the desire that you want the power of the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to come on you. And what do you do? Just ask. Simple, right? Just ask. You know, the things I say, and I think the way I say things sometimes, it seems like, oh man, this is so simple. This is just so simple. Are you saying it's that simple? Yes, it's that simple. It's that simple. So this morning we're going to do something. I'm going to ask that we all rise. And we're going to pray this morning. If you want the power of the Holy Spirit, the resting upon of the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is ask this morning. And I believe that as you do so, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit already, He can refill you again. So this morning, I just want us to, the Bible says we should ask. It says that if you who know how to give your children good gifts, ask. They ask you something and you give them good gifts. You don't give them a snake when they ask for bread. How much more will Jesus give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? So all you have to do this morning is ask. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you this morning. Let's just focus on Jesus this morning. And it's simple. Just say, Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Spirit this morning. Let the Holy Spirit come afresh on me. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit will come upon you this morning.